live from Cobos Q and Edo for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's a Friday edition of The Killer Bees live at Cobos Q in Edo. Great spot, and boy, it feels good after the Houston Astros finishing up the Gotham Gauntlet, winning 7 of their 9 games. A 2-1 yesterday with the victory over the Yankees. Very nice to beat the best team in the American League.
With your JV. I mean, essentially, you know, as much as we saw that lineup come out as we were getting off the air yesterday, you looked at it and you said, well, you know what? They did enough damage. They did what they had to do. If they're going to lose this one, you're okay with it. You can live with it. And then they go out and just play their tails off, and you get great starting pitching yet again. And Bregman stays hot. And Jake's hitting alleys now, and Jake's hitting solid line drives. And you're going, you know what? It might have been the best thing, as much as everybody was looking at it with some trepidation when we saw these 9 games on the schedule with where the team was and thought, well, let's just see but hope it goes for the best. You come out of it now and you go, oh, they're not only the real deal. That was impressive.
It's New York. I just wanted to listen to Frank Sinatra today. Old Blue Eyes. I just wanted to listen to a
My
little
dad's
Frank
favorite.
Today.
My dad was a big favorite.
A little New York, New York. Yeah. I felt like today was the day we needed to listen to Frank Sinatra. We needed to listen to New York. The city's so nice, you have to say it twice. It was the Houston Astros that
talking about. My Yankees are fine. Everything's going to be great. You guys are worried about 9 games in the middle of summer. We're okay. Forget God. You missed me with all that.
Yeah, this is just, I love listening to this music. I listened to this falling asleep last night after the Astros beat the Yankees 2-1. After they won 7 of their 9 games against New York teams. The best team in the AL, the best team in the National League. New York, New York. They should rename the city Jose Altuve. They should name Altuve.
He should run for mayor.
Altuve, Altuve. So nice, you got to say it twice.
He shouldn't even have to run. He should just be anointed the mayor of New York.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he is their daddy. No matter how much they continue to ridicule him, he just owns them. And he nurtures them. He takes care of them. He does the mic'd up in the Sunday night game and says, oh, no, it's just the fans being the fans. It's all good. It's fine. Okay, well, as long as you keep raking like that, I'm sure it's all fine.
You know how the Astros have Club Astros when they win? Rumors told me, this isn't actually true, but rumors told me that the Astros were listening to Frank Sinatra all post-game long. Everybody was getting their ice treatments. They were looking at the trainers. They were talking to the media. All Blue Eyes. New York, New York. Well, all night long.
You remember the Aaron Judge one, right?
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he had the boombox, and he walked by the Red Sox clubhouse blasting New York, New York after they got it.
They were just sending Aaron Judge off to a nice farewell after they got beat yet again by the Houston Astros. The Astros take the best of 5 series against the Yankees.
It just couldn't happen to a more deserving team and fan base. The fact that you were able to do that in the fashion that you did it, and the thing was, until last night's game, you still had New York fans going, I mean, what's the big deal? You got 2, we got 2. It's a push. No, it's not really a push because we pushed you all over the field for all 4 games, and if not for a few hiccups in the bullpen, you'd have been licking more than wounds.
And it was a 5-game series, right? Like, I understand that the Mets were involved there in the middle because the Astros had to go to Shea Stadium, I mean, City Field, to play the Mets. They took both of those. They swept the Mets yet again. But, like, you did it yesterday with your beat. You did it without the best hitter in baseball. You did it without your starting shortstop. You did it with Luis Garcia, who we don't know if the playoffs started tomorrow would even be in this playoff rotation. The Astros B team just beat the New York Yankees in their second-best starter in Luis Severino.
Not only that, Jeremy, but when you look at it, you just start diving down. It's normally your job to do that or your hobby. But when you look at down, the Mets hadn't been swept in a series all season. The Astros did it twice. Once here, once there. Granted, they were 2-game series,
sure.
But they took care of their business by putting an exclamation point on it. They didn't just win. They won emphatically and didn't lose to the best team in the National League. Now, they come back and they flip the script on their enemies. I'm not going to say they're rivals, because normally the team that is a rival of yours beats you a few times when it matters, or at least somewhat consistently to where it's kind of more of an even ledger. But since you handled them like they were more like your little bitch instead of your little rival, and you kicked kicked them all over the field, and you've got Yankees Twitter that's just so worried about, you can't disrespect us like that. We've still got the best record in the American League. But guess what? You got tested, and you know what the test showed? It came back negative, like you don't have what you thought you had. And that's why you love this team so much, because when the stakes get higher, when there's more tension, just like all that they went through when they were going to take all the beating that they took verbally from the fans and otherwise, guys stepped up, and they decided to say, you know what? We're not going to let that be a built-in excuse, so we don't have to win. We want to win to be able to prove to people we're way more than what you think we are, and that's what they did again.
Look, we talked about this a bit yesterday. You're not going to win a World Series in June, but as far as a series in June can go, or a nine-game stretch in June can go, that's as good a feeling as you're going to have in a regular season for a really long time, because you have, okay, well, the Yankees, they're running away with the American League, and they're still probably going to finish with the one seed. I'm not going to argue that the Astros are going to finish with the top record in the American League. I don't even think that that really matters. The Astros showed you they can go into Yankee Stadium, they can go to the Bronx, and they can win baseball games like they've been doing since 2015. So that's something that I really don't even care about. But the fact that you play the Yankees for five games of the nine, you play the Mets, who's the best record in the National League, four of the nine, to me, the Astros, they sent a message to, I think, Astro fans, one, that the Astro fans, well, do we have enough? Like, let's see if they make some moves. We'll see. We'll worry about that when we get to that, right? We'll worry about that on August 2nd, whenever the trade deadline comes up. And the Astros have about a month before then, as the calendar turns to July today. But they sent a message, I think, around all of baseball and, of course, to the very biased East Coast, right? Oh, this is the year for the Mets. The Mets are spending money with our new ownership. And we've put together the best team with Scherzer and DeGrom. The Yankees, oh, we have a complete team. We still have the best team. Yankee fans are still saying this. The Astros let everybody in New York, whether it's Mets fans, whether it's Yankees fans, that the Astros are still going to be living in their head rent-free, and they're going to have nightmares about Jose Altuve. They're going to have nightmares about Justin Verlander, and they're going to be scared of the ALCS if the Yankees get that far to play the Astros.
I think you touched on it, Jeremy. I think it's the biggest thing that you could possibly take away from this if you're an Astros fan. Forget the fact that when the Yankees won the two games they won, they were in the first pod leading off shows on SportsCenter and all the major sports shows. Forget the fact that everybody's worried about not getting enough respect or making sure that people pay attention. The bigger thing is those that know baseball, those that know it from the perspective of really truly watching how the entire league is going to shake out from the standpoint of who are the best teams in the league, and all those analysts and experts that surround it, the message was sent clearly, loudly, and it got through to everybody. This team is one of the, if not the best team in baseball, regardless of what you worry about with records in a long 162-game schedule. When push comes to shove, if this team is healthy, you better damn well be on your best and perform your best if you expect to beat them.
They got everybody's attention yet again. You mentioned Bregman. He had the one hit, one for three, drove in the two runs. I mean, the Astros, wasn't a great offensive game. Two runs on three hits. But Bregman's was timely. Bases loaded, two outs. Almost got it out of there into the Crawford boxes. Just missed the grand slam. But the two runs enough. You mentioned Luis Garcia, who pitched well. The pitch count got up there pretty high, so he didn't get through the six innings. Then the bullpen came on for a scoreless 3 2/3. Bullpen was very good yesterday. Luis Garcia was very good yesterday. And it's interesting watching Luis Garcia work. I noticed he wasn't rocking the baby as much yesterday as he normally does. But
he was still doing it, right?
He was doing it, but not as exaggerated. Okay. He was kind of – and I wonder if they're working on his control a little bit there, where he can be like a little bit more in command because of that.
I think
but
pace
very
has good,
man.
Tempo with him, too, because they said, and even Blummer mentioned it during the telecast, hey, when he's at his best, he gets into kind of a faster rhythm, and maybe that's part of it.
He was still doing his cumbia. Like, he was still doing the Texas two-step. He just wasn't rocking the baby as much as he usually did. He was still doing it a bit. It just wasn't exaggerated. They, like, brought down the range. But he, I mean, we've talked about the Astros having a surplus in starting pitching. Luis Garcia is in that conversation. Because, look, the Astros' top two pitchers are Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez. After that, you have Christian Javier in the mix. You have Luis Garcia in the mix. We'll see if Jake Odorizzi's in the mix. We'll hear from him in just a little bit. Jose Urquidy. Will Lance McCullers ever come back? And there's some people that think, okay, well, trade from your surplus of starting pitching to either get some help offensively or get some help out of the bullpen. If Luis Garcia's pitching like this, and I know the pitch count got up there high, he didn't get through the six innings, I'm very hesitant to part with a pitcher like Luis Garcia, who's in his mid-20s, who's got a sub-350 career ERA that is very, very cheap. Like, it's going to take a lot for me to part with any of these starting pitchers, namely Luis Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a great problem to have, and it keeps getting better, with the exception of something that we will get to, I'm sure, but it could be that one kind of stick in the mud as we evaluate it all. But it's a great problem to have because you've got a surplus of what every team in baseball would love to have, and that is really quality starting pitching. The fact you don't have to make a decision right now is even better because you can continue to let these guys do what they need to do. If you have an injury or you just decide you want some more rest for these guys and you want to spread them out to the sixth man again, you can do that too. But you have the versatility to do whatever you want because no matter who you throw out there, whenever you throw them out there, and Garcia had extended rest. So you were wondering if he was going to be rusty or be as sharp as he could be.
He did.
He had his stuff. He was sharp. You're right. The pitch count was up. That was the only problem you had with him. But in terms of going back out there, competing against those best hitters the Yankees have, and basically setting them down, it was just another stellar performance to where you say, there's not a general manager in the league that wouldn't kill for the staff that they have right now.
Unbelievable. And during the Gotham Gauntlet, Astros starters with a 1.52 ERA in those nine games. What'd you think of Kyle Tucker? Two outs, two on, both in scoring position, by the way. It wasn't just two on. It was two on in scoring position. Now, Yuli Gurriel is at the plate. Kyle Tucker trying to steal home. What'd you think of that decision from King Tuck?
I didn't like it. And you know what? I was trying to see the communication level before he decided to go. Was it something where he was talking to
Gary? I think it was Tucker on his own reading it.
I did too. The more I looked at it and rewound it, I thought it was just Tucker taking a gamble. I didn't like it because you had two guys on in a game that you knew that you weren't going to have your top offensive production lineup out there anyway. And if Yuli somehow, some way, just throws one into, you know, gets something to land in the outfield, you got two more runs that you desperately need. Mm-hmm. I understand the aggressiveness. And there are times when you would reward him for trying to get something like that done, but not in that situation, not with the lineup that you were putting out there yesterday.
I wanted to listen to WFAN today. They're the flagship of the Yankees. They almost tried to ignore the Astros-Yankees. They were talking about Durant. They were talking about everything going on in Brooklyn. It took about an hour and a half before Jerry Recco, who was hosting the show today, he was in for Boomer and Gio ahead of the July 4th holiday. Take a listen to what they're saying on WFAN.
All right, let's do just a little bit of baseball here, just because the Yankees did play the Astros yesterday. I know CeeLo covered it in his segment, but you know, to me, it's nothing. They lost 2-1, whatever. It's a quick stop. They go to Cleveland now this weekend. They'll pick right back up where they were. Now, some will say, yeah, but the bigger issue is, you know, they lost 3 of 5. The two games they won, should they really have won them? They could have been swept. Blah 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 blah. All of that, I understand. I'm with you though. I still think at the end of the day that this team is built differently. And I do think that they are the better team. And I know Boomer brought that up the other day. I know you guys even debated it on SNY. Are the Astros the best team in baseball? They're certainly making their case. But until I see that record better than what the Yankees have done, to me, the Yankees are still the team to beat in Major League Baseball. And they will be because they're going to continue to win a lot of games and a lot of series. Yesterday, you lose 2-1. That's got to change in the postseason. And I think it will. I really do. For some reason, I just think this Yankee team is different.
Hold that thought. I want you to hit that on the other side.
Okay.
I want you to simmer on it for 2 minutes.
Oh.
So you can hit it on the other side. We'll do that when we return. Also, are the Astros the best team in baseball? Are they better than the Yankees? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees live at Cobos Q 2012 Rusk. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I was there bright and early this morning. I saw Dr. O and the staff. They are absolutely fantastic, and they take care of all their customers. The lobby was full. Everybody that's been listening and hearing me talk about them keeps coming back for more because they know that they are taken care of and they have energy like never before. They can find energy to get back in their life and give them all the strength to get through whatever they've got going on in their day. You want to start a workout program, they've got that full body composition analysis that gets you started and allows you to chart your progress. Recover quicker with the HGH peptide therapy. All the different things for your smoothies, the fat burners, and it's all two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston. Check them out today. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. So book an appointment. When you go in, talk to them honestly. They're going to ask you tough questions. But if you tell them your goals, what you're trying to achieve, and the fact that the issues that you're having, they are going to get you on a plan that works, and they're going to get you results, and that's what it's all about. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I'm most definitely from
New York. Hey. Uh-huh.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow.
Live from Kobo's Q in Edo, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ball game! Astros win it 2-1. Ryan Pressly, a 1-2-3 night. And the Astros have gone 7-2 against New York, New York.
Well done, Todd Kalas. A little New York, New York. But, Blankers, if you can do it in New York, you can do it anywhere. So if the Astros can do it in New York, are they the best team in baseball?
No, they're not, Jeremy. And to get back to the Yahoo that was filling in
Jerry
New York.
Jerry Recco. Yeah,
Jerry. Hey, Jerry. Jerry, I have news for you, Jerry. Objection. Leading a witness. Guess what? You were all witness to a murder. There was a murder because they killed the Yankees every single freaking game. They whooped it up and mopped you up, mopped the floor with you. And yet, I guess you have to do that because you have so many people to appease that are whiny little bee babies that sit there in the stands and sit there on their radios and go, like the guy in Austin that listens to us going, don't disrespect my Yankees, man. They got the best record in the American League. Okay, guess what? Ifs, buts, candies, nuts. You're the Utah Jazz of the playoffs. You haven't done anything since 2010. You're finally doing something to resurface, but we've seen this party play out before. You celebrate it all the way until October, and then you're home carving pumpkins and cooking the seeds while everybody else is playing important baseball. Shut the hell up.
8693. He goes, that audio clip you can hear in that guy, Jerry Recco, that he's trying to convince himself that the Astros aren't better. He knows that the Astros still own them. All of New York knows. The whole world knows. Some things that Jerry said. He said, let's do a little bit of baseball here. Like, you can tell that he did not want to spend that 3 minute of a split segment talking about the Astros beating the Yankees yet again and going 7-9 against New York teams in this Gotham gauntlet. They talked Nets and Kevin Durant for an hour and 15 minutes, and they said, oh, let's do a little bit of baseball. And then after that, oh, it's nothing, whatever, blah, 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 blah. This Yankee team is built different. If one of those teams are built different, it's the Houston Astros.
The only thing I can say, too, Jeremy, is because you and I have worked for the flagship stations that have covered teams' games in the past, they know where their bread is buttered, so they have to try and put a diaper on it and come out and say, hey, it's just the regular season, it's one series, we're still good, don't yell it, don't I don't want to hear any of that noise, because we're going to be there, we're okay. You know what? It's like seeing a psychologist and just trying to get you to settle down so you don't do anything drastically more stupid than you've already done by laying down and taking it the way you did. So just get over yourself and realize you got work to do. And as we started the gauntlet, we realized that we were several different areas we were concerned about with the Astros. As we leave the gauntlet, the Yankees now are looking at those problems going, what the hell can we do to get better? I already saw the rumor mill out there this morning. Yankees looking to upgrade the outfield.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, I wonder why, because the sirens are going off inside, although outside you have to tell everybody, be calm, people, there's nothing to look at here.
I think they're trying to get out of Joey Gallo, too. They're trying to get out of the Gallo business. 8755 says, Astros gave the Yankees something I can't say on the air. They are the best team in baseball. You can guess what he texted in, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. No, it wasn't the Austin guy. He said the Astros are the best team in baseball. Oh, yeah. So are they the best team in baseball? Are they better than the Yankees? Because Jerry Recco doesn't think so because of their record. You don't think the Astros are the best team in baseball?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
I mean, currently, record-wise, if that's how, you know, because we always say there's different criteria, and everybody looks at the standings and says that's the end-all, be-all. If that's the way you want to do it, then give them their props. The power rankings still have the Yankees at one and the Astros at two. But when they play head-to-head, that's what means the most to me, because that's what they're going to end up doing if the Yankees handle their business and get where they haven't to get to domains they've never been to before, or at least recently. To play them where they need to play them, get back to the American League Championship Series, take on the Astros, and then see mano a mano who's the best that there is. Until we get to that point, I don't care where they rank in the power rankings. I don't care what the records say. I saw the eye test of team against team, and I saw an Astros team that didn't blink once and came at you and basically shut you down to where they were never hitting behind in any of the nine games. Try. I dare any other team that thinks they're the best team in baseball to give that a shot for nine straight games, the way baseball is played and the way the ball bounces, and see how that works out for
maybe them. Maybe I should try to define it. If those two teams, Yankees and the Astros, are playing in a seven-game series for the ALCS with a trip to the World Series on the line, you had to put your house on it. Which side are you on?
I can't argue with the Astros.
I can't either.
I can't because of the fact that, like I said, not only have they been there and done that, But they're doing it again. And even like last night when you didn't have your best players, mm-hmm. and we forget, we say, oh, well, Pena and Jordan didn't play. Well, Brantley didn't play either.
True.
So
that's right.
You got three of the main studs in your top six are sitting, and yet you set the Yankees down again, and arguably your second best pitcher if you're the Yankees pitched. Man, get over yourself. I don't expect you to anoint the Astros if you're a Yankees fan, but at a certain point, stop trying to fake it till you make it by putting down the Astros and give them their credit. Like, if the Yankees came in and whooped our asses for the majority of these games, we'd have to say, look, there's work to do, not only on the field, but James Click, the clock is ticking now because you got to do some things to get to where the Yankees are. But instead, you would think the Yankees could do the same thing, and they can't. Their fan base is just too arrogant.
We wouldn't be saying that it's nothing, it's whatever, and that the Astros are built different. We'd be saying, they better play catch-up. But if you can fake it to make it there, you can fake it to make it anywhere. 3467 saying the guy was right. The Yankees were the team to beat, and the Astros beat them. 8437, to be fair, I think the Yankees have been saying that they have needed to get away from Gallo all year. That's also not necessarily really pertains to this series. 0613, I learned once again the Yankees can't hit a curveball. All that power hitting, and look at them. See, that's one thing when people talk about the Astros offense that I think sometimes gets overlooked is that the Astros are one of the best contact teams in baseball. You might not think that, but look at the numbers. The Astros strike out, I think they're second fewest of anybody else in Major League Baseball. So their style plays to the postseason. Like, we talk about swing and miss a lot and over 162, like, give me power, 50 home runs. Who cares if they're striking out 250 times? I think in the playoffs that stuff actually matters. And the Astros strike out second fewest of Major League Baseball. I think that comes into play once you get into critical series, once you get into October baseball where every single pitch matters. That's something that the Astros do that we overlook because they're not scoring a ton of runs per game.
And that's why we're so critical about Yuli. That's why we always look at Alex Bregman, because the things that those guys don't do is they don't strike out, right? They're contact hitters, and when they weren't getting contact anymore, it started to be a concern and a worry. But the other thing that I start taking away from this, on top of just what they did team by team, team against team, is the fact that Jake Meyer started to step up and get hits in games and do some things, and it wasn't against some of the mediocre teams in baseball like the schedule they had played previously. Bregman's doing what he's continuing to do against the best teams in baseball and having a hitting streak against those kind of teams, not those teams in your division that can't even stay within 10 games of you. You're playing the best teams in baseball, and you're doing what you need. Even Yuli. Yuli had a big series over the weekend. Yuli was hitting the ball a hell of a lot better, and that's as much as you can say the numbers tell me one thing. Who you're playing against kind of enhances that. So there's a ton of positives right now if you're riding this Astros bandwagon.
It's a lot of fun seeing that there's some life in center field too, right? Like, you're saying, okay, maybe Jake Meyers can be an above-average center fielder, whereas you were hoping to get average with Chaz and Siri, and you're probably getting below average. You're getting above average now at third base, and to your point about Yuli, where he's starting to perform better now as well, you're starting to see this batting order get extended. You're starting to see some life to the bottom of the batting order, which I think is important, especially if you're going to keep Altuve in the leadoff spot. I mean, he's hitting home runs, he's slugging. You got to get some guys on base for Altuve long term. 8924, would you rather the Yankees miss the playoffs or the Astros beat the Yankees in the playoffs? I almost think it'd be funnier if they missed the playoffs. I'll take both, but if I had to pick one, I want to play the Yankees. I want an like ALCS Yankees Astros and the Astros taking their lunch money again.
Well, it's one of two things for me, because their record alone states I don't think they're going anywhere. They're going to make the postseason, but as you know, my first choice would be beat them again. Because every time you beat them, you send a message to the rest of the league that they don't want to have sent, which is the fact that you still own them and they still can't beat you. And that is just a glorious feeling when it's the New York fan base. But on top of that, the other ironic thing would be like the Rays a year ago. You're the one seed. You roll into the playoffs. The first time you play a playoff series, you fall flat on your face. And everybody has to realize regular season means little to nothing except for a pass to get into the playoffs.
I think you do need to consider that. Again, you're not winning a World Series in June, but as good of a 9-game stretch as you could possibly have in June, Astros just did it, 7-9 against the New York team. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Yankees or Astros, who would you take? 7-game ALCS right now. Also, when we return, Jake Odorizzi's salty about something. The Astros just won 7-9 against New York teams. Odorizzi's rehab is looking good. What is he salty about? We'll tell you next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool. With over $1 million, and baby, you better believe I'm back in
New York.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobo's Q in Edo. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sean's filling in today for Brendan. Brendan went to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So Sean Mapes is hanging out with us, always does a tremendous job, and he is killing it right now with these rejoins. Sean is killing it with these rejoins. And Raul here at Cobo's Q, he's killing with his food. You go with the quesadillas. That's your old faithful. That's your trustworthy. I'm a little offended you haven't offered me one yet.
Oh, you won't get any of it. Because here's the thing. There are idiots out there that have no clue that go and decide that grown men shouldn't order quesadillas when they go out. Not only should you order the quesadillas here, if they don't fill you up and you don't think they're the best you've ever had, then you probably aren't a food connoisseur. You're probably from New York. Dumbasses. Raul does everything right, but he knows. I used to harp on them before I ever tried them. And the minute that I tried them, they're like, if you don't know, you better ask somebody, and then never order quesadillas from anywhere else expecting what you get here. Period. End of story.
You know, I've been saying I'm going to try the wings here for a little while, and I'm a bit of a wing snob. I just had a few. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The wings here are fantastic, and I am a wing snob. I'll admit that.
The atmosphere
fantastic.
Is one thing, because you want a good sports bar atmosphere, and they have everything here, and all the TVs, and the comfort, and the cleanliness. But you want great food no matter what you do when you go out, and this is why Cobo's Q is known the way they are, because the food is better than anywhere else you're going to go. It's not bar food. It's like gourmet food. It's so damn good.
Great spot to go, like, to come here before you go into an Astro game. Great pregame spot. It's also a great postgame spot if you're going to the Astros.
Yep.
Also, maybe you don't have an Astro ticket. This is a great spot to hang out to watch the game. And sometimes Major League Baseball likes to troll Astro fans and put their games on Apple TV, like tonight. Well, Cobo's got that taken care of. I mean, Apple TV, he's got it all. Xfinity, whatever. We don't want to give away free plugs here. But if you're looking for a place to watch Apple TV because you don't have it and watch the Astros game tonight, this is the spot. Also to my Cougars, I know it's not football season right now, but this is also a great tailgate spot too. Maybe you don't want to bust out the grill. Maybe you don't want to head out in the heat of Houston. This is the spot to come to before all Houston games. You can take the light rail over to the stadium.
I was going
to
say you're
great
close enough
there
to take
too.
The rail.
Oh, yeah. You can take the rail. I know a few people that do that. All right, so Jake Odorizzi making his rehab start. It was two nights ago, right? He ended up pitching for Corpus.
Yeah.
It wasn't Sugar Land.
Right,
it was Corpus.
A, yep.
By the way, Patrick Creighton was on the call last night in Sugar Land. He was filling in for Gerald. Hunter Brown was on the mound yesterday. So we're going to have Patrick on at 2 o'clock
Did
to get his perspective
mic?
Of Hunter Brown.
What do you mean? Normally people can hear Pat all the way from the inner city.
Yeah.
From Sugar Land, I would think that – I didn't know if he used electronics or just called the game just manually.
And I've learned one thing, and that's not to doubt Patrick Creighton.
That's true.
So whatever it is, he's going to figure it out. But anyways, Jake Odorizzi, he had a couple of rehab assignments. His first start was whatever. Like, it was his first one back. He's probably working on some things. But his second start, he was good. 5 shutout innings, looks to be ready. And then yesterday, because he was with the team yesterday before the game, he was in the dugout, he was talking to the media. Here was Jake Odorizzi that's salty about something. We're going to have to figure out what it is.
You know, nope.
What's the next step for you, Jake?
Don't know. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. I just work here.
How do you, overall, your two rehab appearances, what do you think about in total?
Good. This first one, rusty, which I expected after a 5-week break. Second one, normal. Execution was much more solid. Pitch shapes were normal. Felt just like a normal game. So I physically, I'm where I need to be at, and we figure out the rest after conversations are had.
When are you coming back? Don't know. I just work here. What do you hear when you listen to that from Jake Odorizzi?
I hear a guy that we've been down this road before with that should be just enjoying his teammates as they all kind of just wallow in the success that they just had over a 9-game span. And I hear a fly in the ointment. I see the facial expressions of a guy that can't try and be the best teammate he can be. He can only be a self-centered crybaby that he's not being activated immediately, and that is so annoying.
See, I heard it the exact same way. And if you want to weigh in, how did you hear this from Jake Odorizzi? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That, to me, sounds like somebody who wants to be activated and the Astros aren't quite
Absolutely.
Ready to activate him. Like, I am curious, though, what the plan is, because you get 20 days if you're a pitcher down on the farm to rehab. He's probably, what, around 10 days or so? So, I mean, he'd probably have to be there for 10 more days. Once you do call him up, you're going to have to send somebody down. I think the three options that you would send down are going to be for the pitching staff, which would be Anoli, who we saw once so far, Seth Martinez, who's been pitching well, Brian Abreu, who's been pitching well. So Anoli seems like the candidate
there. Yep.
So they might want Anoli to get, like, maybe another week or two before they call up Odorizzi. But he's clearly upset that he is not on this 26-man roster here over the next couple of days.
You know, best case scenario, you wait till after the break, because then you can get him a little bit more work if you need to. You can sort some things out. Guys get healthy, and you can see where everybody is getting ready to start the second half, the unofficial second half with
when
the Yankees.
When is the break? It's coming up later this year?
It's coming up in about a week or so.
15th? 17th? That might actually be at the end of his rehab assignment. I don't know if you can wait that long.
I mean, the thing is, I'd make him wait now just because of the fact that he doesn't know how to act.
But you can't.
I know. I get it. I'm just saying, ideally, if they're holding him back and pushing it off, it's because they don't want to mess up what they're doing right now and everything is working. And at a certain point, they will address it. They will get him back where he needs to be. Or they're fielding calls and conversations from other teams as well, too, knowing that with the stretch we've just seen with their star pitchers, they might not have to do a damn thing with Jake Odorizzi except for to reroute him somewhere else. Because here's the thing that Jake forgets. Basically, he had a franchise that was at least loyal enough to stick with him through a couple more starts after he looked like he already should have been DFA'd. So the fact that when he was pitching his absolute worst, they stuck with him until he started pitching his best of the year, and now the thanks you get from player to organization is you're going to bitch and whine and be a whiny baby because they're not following your timeline of when you think you should be back out there. Tell me, Jake, when you looked at that body of work, your starting pitching just laid down for you, tell me who you should replace.
Yeah, I don't see. That's the challenging thing is, like, I actually don't hate that Odorizzi's disgruntled. I don't hate
that
he's
upset. You
like the
fire in his belly?
No. I'm actually going another way with that. I'm actually thinking of his player option that he has for next year is what I'm thinking about. I want Jake Odorizzi to want out from the Houston Astros at the end of the season. Like, he's nice to have in terms of the idea of you have a surplus of starting pitching. It's nice that you have depth at the starting pitching spot because of him. I think he adds value to your team that way. But he's not going to be part of a four-man rotation in the playoffs if everything stays the same the way that it currently is. I don't want Odorizzi to pick up the player option for next year. I think you could use those resources in a better way going into next season. So it's a really interesting place. Because you're right, Odorizzi's not really going to bump anybody from their spot of the rotation. The Astros could also be looking at the calendar and seeing, like, when their day's off and, like, when they could go to this hybrid six-man rotation that we're predicting that they were going to go to at some point. So it is a problem, like, for the Astros that they have so many starters. I think it's a good problem, but they also have to figure it out. And part of having that problem is you're going to tick off some people. And they're not going to tick off Justin Verlander, we know that. They're not going to tick off Framber Valdez because they're pitching him every fifth day. It seems Javier is just going to go with the flow. Luis Garcia is happy-go-lucky, or Key's happy-go-lucky as well. The only pitcher that really cares a whole lot is Odorizzi, and you can make the case that he's the worst of everybody we just mentioned.
Well, and if it's JV having that kind of saltier attitude, you understand it because he's carrying
the
load.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's the horse. The thing that you're looking at, and you have the absolute far end of the spectrum going both ways, right? You've got Jake, who can't just ride along and have fun with a team that's riding high and has to be the fly in the ointment. And you've got Garcia, who, if you listen to the post-game interview, was just the happy-go-luckiest, funniest, you know, upbeat guy in the world, just loving the fact that his teammates were doing it too, saying he's using it as motivation, but just having fun. And you know, even like when he was like the human Theragun the other night on Fromber's shoulder and they were all doing that. These guys are all tight. These guys are all together. And these guys are all doing their job. So, again, I ask, if Jake has got the red ass and he thinks he should be pitching, which one of the starters are you replacing?
I'm not replacing any of them. I think you're looking at you're looking at probably a six-man rotation, a hybrid six-man, and you might even think about stacking if you don't want to go to a six-man, right? Like, and if you do that, I think Luis Garcia is actually a really good candidate to be a stack pitcher because he doesn't go that deep into games. Like, if he goes for five innings and then you get Urquidy for, like, three or four, I think that's a plan that works in the regular season. Like, I'm a little worried about it in the postseason, although the Astros have had success with that with Morton and McCullers, per se. But it is interesting to see if the Astros will go that route. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 4488 says, really nice to see Stressley be Presley last night. Yeah, no Ryan Stressley yesterday. Ryan Stressley's his alter ego. Ryan Presley's right. Who he is. Sometimes his alter ego shows up when he doesn't pitch very well, like when he gave up the 3-run homer in Yankee Stadium, gave up 4 runs in the game that they blew. One thing that I really encouraged about from Ryan Presley, though, since that terrible outing. He's went three outings since then, has been perfect. He's been perfect in those three outings. He's went a perfect inning in three different games. He has five strikeouts in those three innings. And what I really loved about yesterday, I wasn't sure we're ever going to see Ryan Pressly pitch on back-to-back games again. And he did it yesterday, and he was perfect doing it striking out
three. Let me add
three.
Something to that. He did it against the Yankees. Yep. That's what I was looking at. Because once we had Mad Dog on, and he was talking about, look at his career numbers against the Yankees, he's like, you know, at a certain point, what he's basically saying is sometimes pitchers have one team, it's their kryptonite, whether it's mental or otherwise. It started to make me think, are the Yankees the kryptonite of Ryan Pressly? The fact that he came in now twice and shut the door on the Yankees after he opened it wide and then set the whole thing on fire in the game that the first game they lost in New York, you look at it and say, okay, now I'm feeling better again about my circle of trust that he settled back into what we need him to be. It's not that you want him to be that. If the Astros are going to be everything that they expect to be and that we expect them to be, they have to have Ryan Pressly as effective as he can be, and that's what he looked like last night.
713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees live at Cobos Q, looking for a great spot to kick off your three-day weekend, July 4th, over on Monday. Here is the spot. Ditch work a little early. Come over here, kick off your three-day weekend here at Cobos Q. If you come into the Astros game later, this is your pregame, postgame spot. If you don't have Apple TV, you wanted to watch Apple TV, this is also your spot. We'll keep this conversation going when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It is the end of a week. You know what I like to do at the end of a week? I like to have a good drink. I like to have a good drink at the end of the week. Sometimes at the end of a day, during the week. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. And a local Texas brand, Gentle Bend Spirits, does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. Gentle Bend, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits that use their state-of-the-art, innovative Proceto craft technology that is better in taste, it's better in aroma, and it's better in purity than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Gentle Bend is unrivaled. Look, I know you have your favorite brand, you have your go-to at the end of a night, end of a week, but trust me now and thank me later. Take the challenge I did. Try a sip of Gentle Bend and compare it to your brand. You're going to taste a huge difference, just like I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M class of 85 by the way, had me out to his tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. Ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. You can find Gentle Bend vodka and gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online gentlebend.com, but also head over to their tasting room in Alvin. Try that bourbon. It's fantastic. 94 proof bourbon. It was the winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year. That's exclusive to the tasting room in Alvin, and it is fantastic. We're headed out to the tasting room in Alvin, a live remote July 14th, so mark that in the calendars. Come hang out with us and have some good spirits from Gentle Bend. Gentle Bend, the union of tradition and invention.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobos Q in Edo. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blankers wasn't kidding. He didn't give me any of his quesadilla.
Nope.
Scarfed it down. Greedy.
Oh, that's I like very to good. Share a lot of things and take care of you guys for your birthdays and
you
all
do.
Kinds of stuff.
You do.
But there are certain things that are off limits. And Cobos Q quesadillas, don't touch them, don't look at them, and get your own. Yeah. That's it, period.
These wings are fantastic, though. You can't have any of these. 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees Live, Cobos Q, 2012 Russ. Swing on by. Say hello to us. Come by before the Astros.
Dr. Dre,
as well.
We got, like, look, all the listeners are here. Clarence is here. Crystal's here. Donna's here. Q's here. Pink Valkyrie's here. Dr. Dre on 290 is wearing an Astros dress. He's wearing essentially swim attire, which is barely legal to get through the front door. And then, like, a Kimona-sized Altuve jersey.
But it is Houston.
Yeah, he is doing his best to embarrass us all like he just got out from under an overpass. But the rest of everybody's here having a great time.
6-0-7-7 after this nine-game stretch, the Astros know they can win. The Mets and the Yankees are still hoping they can win. Robert in Orange says, great show, guys. What are you doing?
I'm doing the 18-wheeler truck horn
for
Dre because Dre knows it's all about love.
8693, question. Considering the lineups that just went up against the franchise, has the franchise ever had a better nine-game pitching stretch? Nine is a specific number, but in that range of games, couple of series stretch. I would imagine that it's probably not a franchise record, but to do it against the competition that they did. And the starters' ERA, 152, I think the overall pitching staff was like around three. I think it was a little bit on the wrong side of three, but about three. But the starters with a 152 ERA in that nine-game stretch probably not a franchise record. But whenever you consider the competition, I think that that's something that has it will stand out when you look at back at like the best memories of the regular season.
I think that's the biggest thing. Again, I keep going back to the fact it's one thing at any time in the season, and we know how excited we were when the Astros were in double-digit wins in a row when they started out 6-6 and got rolling again. But when you take a 9-game stretch, and granted you didn't win every game, but at least we know they could have.
Mm-hmm.
But even though, you know, you could say that, but you know you take whatever the results give you, and they lost 2 games. But even losing 2 games, I don't think that there's a whole lot that you can nitpick and come away from that saying was a massive problem or something that really bothered you, because the starting pitching was great. The offense was not only timely, but they were also, you know, they were putting up crooked numbers when they needed to, but they were getting whatever they needed to get to make sure that their team stayed ahead in the game. And then on top of that, yeah, the bullpen had a few hiccups, but the fact that they used the time that, like we just talked about Presley, the next time he got out there, made sure it didn't happen again.
Yep.
Made sure that he got right and did against a really good couple of teams, and that's great.
I'm going to ask this question, but I know the answer of it. What do you remember more from Presley? The Stressley, whenever he gave up the 3-run homer against the Yankees in game 1 of the 4-game series in the Bronx? Or does it stand out more the next 3 outings that he's had, where he's been perfect in all 3, has struck out 5 in 3 innings, has not allowed a runner in those 9 hitters that he's faced, and then yesterday doing it on the second day of a back-to-back, which is very important for Ryan Presley? Like, which of the two sticks out to you more, the most?
I mean, to me, it's still going to be
the same wreck, right?
Yep. Yeah, because of the fact that if he's doing what you just rattled off over the last couple of games, then he's doing his job. If he's doing what he did to cost you one of the games in this 9-game gauntlet, then he obviously didn't do his job, and that's where you start wavering on your trust that every time you go to your closer, he's going to close the door. So he's on the right track, and he's getting back to where he needs to be. And you're right. The one thing that I would say is a bigger positive than just what he did over the last 3 games, the fact that he did it in back-to-back games, because we were like, wait a minute. It's one thing that we were already questioning that you gave this guy an extension when you were still questioning, is his knee right? Is his arm right? Is his velocity where it should be?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you start, you know, seeing the fact that maybe he can't pitch in back-to-back games. You're going, well, why did they do what they did? And you got this guy for, you know, this and 2 more. That could be a big problem. The fact that he's working it out is great, but I'm still not going to lose sight of what happened in the first game against the Yankees.
I think, too, you have to give credit to Dusty. And it's not something that I do a whole lot. The fact that you're willing to go back to Ryan Presley quickly and then also quickly get him into a back-to-back, and then he shows, okay, maybe he's still got a lot of that Ryan Presley left in him. And he's not going to show off the alter ego Ryan Stressley a whole lot. So, actually, I'll tip my cap to Dusty there. I know the people say I don't do that enough. 4488, we also asked the question about Odorizzi, right? What does it sound like to you when he's saying that, nope, about his roster status, or I just work here when talking about when they might see him up, and he's the wrong guy to ask. 4488 says he's a disgruntled employee. Trade him. That's Chris. So the thing with trading Odorizzi is I don't know if he has a lot of value on the market. So, like, what are you getting back for Odorizzi that is going to really elevate your team? I'm not sure that that exists. Like, maybe you can get a prospect and then flip it in some sort of trade that you're trying to make. But anybody that wants Odorizzi is not going to want to give up anybody on their big league team, because it's probably a contender that's looking to add a starting pitcher that's going to help them out. So it's very difficult to get back the value of what Odorizzi, I think, brings to this team. And the value that I think he brings to this team isn't great, but to give you the pitching depth, to give you the insurance, and let's be quite honest, Odorizzi was pitching very well before he got carted off Fenway when it looked like somebody shot him in the Achilles and he had basically a bad sprained ankle.
I think if you were to set up your expectations to say the best case scenario is it's Abraham Toro part 2. It's a guy that has enough value to get you a major league relief pitcher in return. You know, it could be any position of need, right? But it's almost like at the deadline a year ago. If you can trade Jake Odorizzi and get one of those 3 former closers or current closers on major league teams that could enhance your bullpen, then that's the ultimate pie in the sky, greatest scenario ever. To your point, as long as you can get something for him, for a guy that a couple weeks ago looked like the best case scenario for everybody involved was you DFA him, he finds a team that's willing to give him some leeway like the Diamondbacks did with Dallas Keuchel and say, hey, just get right, go back, work on your craft. If it happens for you, we'll find a spot for you in the rotation kind of thing. And you take a prospect in return if you can get it. That's kind of like the bottom of the list.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere in between, if you can get someone serviceable, it doesn't have to be a closer, that can help you this year in your bullpen because you know you have a surplus that he's not going to fit into, and he's obviously not going to be a good soldier about it. it's, again, addition by subtraction. No matter how much the rest of the guys in the locker room may like him, if he, this is the second time now we've had to deal with these little, you know.
It's just passive-aggressive comments. They're like, what are you doing, dude?
It's just, you know, if your team was struggling and you felt like you could do better, but that's just my answer now from now on is, tell me, Jake, who would you replace of the current starting pitchers that you've just seen over a two-week period? Because if you think you're better than any one of them and you should be out there instead of them,
yep,
you're not only delusional, you're blind, and therefore you can't see the strike zone and you need to move on.
See, I think it's important that you said the two-week period, right? Because 2042, I hear a guy who doesn't think he's going to get his spot in the rotation, even despite how terrible Urquidy was until recently. Because Urquidy, his last three starts, he's been as good as anybody.
That's right.
He abandoned the cutter, and all of a sudden, it's vintage Jose Urquidy again. So I would take Urquidy right now over,
no doubt. And you know,
over Odorizzi.
And Jeremy, if the deciding factor comes down to attitude, Urquidy stayed positive through the whole thing. Urquidy, just, he knew what he had to do.
Yep.
He wasn't happy with the way he was pitching. But guess what? He listened to the coaches. He did some things, tweaked some things, decided to change his repertoire a little bit in the way he delivers the baseball and what pitches he throws. And it's working for him. But he didn't sit there and whiny, baby. He didn't sit there and bitch and moan about the fact that, you know what, I don't know what they're doing. I'm not doing anything. My diaper needs to be changed, and I haven't been fed in 3 hours, and I need my whoopee, or I'm going to have a real tantrum. Oh, God.
His whoopee?
A whoopee is another – it's a kid's name for a blanket.
Is that a Wisconsin term?
It's more than Wisconsin.
8693, Odorizzi's always salty. His facial expressions, his tone, always crying. Trade him, 1566. Jake sounds ungrateful as can be, as if the Astros injured him. 6077, over easy, he's entitled. He needs to be traded. 1509, Joel, we need your take. Admittedly, I don't know how much about this is a basketball. We'll save that because we're going to talk basketball next. 2213, Presley faced the bottom of the order, and Carpenter, I should know that name, he went to Elkins, who's just happy to be back in the league. I'm still not convinced he closes the door if he's facing Judge in the heart of the order. That's kind of moving the goalpost there. Like, you can't predict, you can't choose who's going to be up in the ninth inning. Like, you're looking at that spot when you're coming into a game, and it's also a little nitpicky. Like, let's look about him in the first two starts. And he was also nasty. Like, he had his stuff. Like, that's something we look at, too. Where's the velo? How does his command look? How sharp is his breaking ball? And Presley was looking very good yesterday. I don't care if it was the bottom of the order. 2618 says, I was at the game last night. I kept telling the kids, don't celebrate yet. Stressley is going to blow it. Jasper said that.
Yep.
Ryan Stressley was not in the ballpark yesterday. His alter ego did not show up. It was one Ryan Presley. Ryan Stressley, fortunately for the kids, the Jasper babies, did not show up.
I think he had help to have the babies, just so you know, the wife is here too. So
it's Mrs. Jasper.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I believe that
she
is
may
Mrs.
be the, not only the queen of the household, she might be dropping the hammer on everybody that decides to argue with her. You just don't know.
I like this thing. I feel very naked without my bat, though. I'll be honest with you. I usually hold a bat while we're doing these
shows.
It's
like getting your man card taken away when you lose your bat?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Look, I think that if you ever see Ryan Presley on the mound after starting out struggling, talking to one of his shoulders, it's like when you had the angel and the devil on each one of your shoulders trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
You'll know that it's truly getting to him, and the Stressley part of it is getting to be too much. But thankfully, although he started off the inning, and again, I don't want to poo-poo on anyone's parade, but he did give up a laser that Yuli caught with no one else on the right side on the first hitter last night.
But
he got through it.
It was a weak pop-up in the box score.
Is that
Blankers.
What it was?
It was a weak pop-up in the box score. Lamont tweeting at us, Joel, who can LMJ replace? Pretty much asking the same question about Jake.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm not counting on him for this year, because there's just too many question marks about who can he replace anybody, period, because we don't know if he can get healthy, and if he gets healthy, we don't know how long he can stay that way. And so if it's not broke, don't fix it. In my mind, as much as he's even responded with our tweets to make sure that he lets everybody know he's still a starter, that's great and that's fine and that's dandy. But when your starters are going this good, not that you got Wally pipped for the rest of your career, but if you got guys that are doing their job while you're out, it's up to you to find a way to try and put a value on yourself to be a part of it, or realize they're not going to rush you back and deem you healthy and get you out back out on the mound until they have to, because there's nothing that says that they need you.
Let's jump to the conclusion. Let's make the assumption that Lance McCullers is healthy in August and that Lance McCullers pitches well enough where he earns a starting spot in the playoff rotation.
Yep.
We're assuming that. What is your playoff for?
Well, it's JV, it's Fromber, and if you're telling me that's the Lance
that's Lance.
Yep. So those three for sure. And then you're at a surplus luxury. Odorizzi's not going to make the playoff roster as it stands right now, in my mind.
If Lance is back.
Yeah. if Lance is back for sure, but I'm still not
right. But under this assumption, right. Under this question.
So I got those three, and I think to me, the fact that he's been in the bullpen before and he can do things for you in the bullpen, I think the safest bet would be to move Javier back to the pen, as good as he's been as a starter, because he's so valuable when he comes in, and no matter what situation, it still has the same kind of stuff. Now, the problem is how quick can he bounce back,
but
you'll worry about that later. So I would move him to the bullpen.
Interesting.
I would move Urquidy to the bullpen because he could be situational, and I would let Luis Garcia be my fourth
starter.
Garcia
would be your four? Yep. See, I'm with you with the first three. Where I flip is I go Javier ahead of Garcia.
I can see that.
But I think that that's the question that the Astros would be asking themselves. It's a problem.
Yeah.
But it's a good
problem to have.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from Cobo's Q 2012. Rusk, coming up next, Kevin Durant wants out. Where? And also the Rocket ramifications of what it all means. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Rooted Raid Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.